This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm joined now by Dr. Cherie Fanaroff, family physician, and we're going to be chatting understanding vaccination schedules, booster shots, and the dreaded flu season is approaching. Doc, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
I think it's such an important thing to be chatting about. My poor GP got wiped out for 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago by the flu. So I'm getting a little bit worried about what's going on, and I'd prefer not to lock myself away from people for 6 months and to be out there. But so let's chat about sort of booster shots, vaccine schedule, flu season. Let's start on the flu season, and then we can move into vaccine schedules and booster shots. What do we have to look out for, and what should we be doing?
So as your doc was caught out a bit early, it's because the flu season arrived a bit earlier this year. It was actually documented by NICD to have arrived on the 24th of March, which is actually 4 weeks earlier than last year. And it's in fact the earliest it's been since 2010 when we were seeing swine flu. So that's why we were caught quite short, and our vaccines only arrived round about that time towards the end of March. And it takes about 2 weeks to develop immunity once you've had a vaccine. So basically, we were caught a little bit early this year, and I would encourage people to go and have flu vaccines as soon as possible, because flu is here and we are certainly seeing it in our practices already.
Sure. And I know with looking at him, I've never in the years that I've known him seen him get hit this badly. It took him out for 2 weeks. So this is not a messing around flu.
So flu is variable. Some people will get a very mild illness and some will get really sick. But in general, people really are knocked out for at least a week. We can see them when we open our consulting rooms. I can pick out the patients with flu because they're the ones who say, "Doc, I feel like I've been hit by a bus." Mm-hmm. You can just see they've got high fevers, they've got headaches, they've got body aches and pains, and they've got a cough. Those are the initial common symptoms. And the incubation period is only about 2 to 4 days. So if somebody in the family gets hit, everybody else is vulnerable, and they're going to get it a few days later.
Later. Okay. Wow. So then if everybody is getting sick, who's bringing me the soup? This is what I want to know. Right. What is a vaccination schedule?
Are you asking about for flu?
To go back to the moms and the babies, I think, with this Africa Vaccination Week.
We discussed a lot of the childhood vaccines, so perhaps let me speak more to the older people and the adults.
Perfect.
Childhood vaccines are obviously very important, but assuming most people have followed that, and then you get to the age of about 12, and then moms forget about road to health cards, and teenagers don't listen to their parents. So it's kind of forgotten about. But the important ones that perhaps she didn't cover at 12, and for our teenagers specifically, she did mention HPV vaccine. Mm-hmm. Any adults who haven't had it, who are not in a stable relationship, actually would be encouraged to have HPV vaccine. Flu vaccine is top of my list on a schedule, and unfortunately it has to be annual, and that's because our strains of flu vaccines change, and maybe I'll come back to that a bit later. Mm-hmm. COVID vaccines got a lot of info and a lot of hype in the last few years. Unfortunately, there are no COVID vaccine boosters available in South Africa, but both in the UK and the US, annual COVID vaccines are actually advised. Other adult vaccines for older adults that we would recommend are the pneumococcal vaccines, and there are actually two available. The one is Prevnar, which is a single vaccine, and then there's one called Pneumovax, which should be updated every 5 years. And those are more for older patients or high-risk populations, and there are various various schedules of doing that depending on the underlying illness. Shingles vaccine, also an important one for older adults. Unfortunately, also really struggling to get hold of shingles vaccine. We used to have one called Zostavax. It's been unavailable for 2 years, and there's a great vaccine called Shingrix available, but it's not freely available. You can only get it in South Africa on a Schedule 21, which means it's got to be applied for, and it's 2 doses, 6 months apart, and my understanding, it's over 4,000 rand for each dose. So wow. It's pretty difficult to have a shingles vaccine. The only other adult ones, people often come into the doctor's rooms with a cut or a dog bite and they say, when did I have my last tetanus? So adults should have tetanus boosters every 10 years. And in fact, we encourage TDP boosters, which includes the pertussis. And that's because we are seeing some pertussis, that's the whooping cough outbreaks. And also to protect new babies coming in. If adults are vaccinated against pertussis, it's helpful.
Right.
The only other adult vaccine I can think of is meningococcal, which is against meningitis, which certainly I encourage my older teens to have those going off to varsity or boarding school or really any adults. Meningitis is a fatal illness and it's entirely preventable by vaccine.
How do I know what vaccines I need and what I should be getting?
You, I guess, have to keep your ears open because in South Africa, it's not vetted. So like we looked in the UK and perhaps when our NHS comes into being, you'll get a notification in your post to say you are due for your TDP and your flu vaccine. But unfortunately, it's up to everybody. You should hopefully have this discussion with your GPs. When you see them, they should be doing it as part of preventative health, looking to see what has this person had and what do they need. But the annual adult ones, certainly I would say flu vaccine at the beginning of winter is at the top of the list.
So what is the reason behind not having the COVID boosters available? And I think I'd like to get an answer on that if we have an answer. I suppose it's a very difficult question, Doc, when we are back from the ad break. Maybe we should just leave that aside.
There's no answer. It's government and finance.
Okay.
We should have
that.
This is Medical Monday brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. We've been chatting vaccinations as it's Africa Vaccination Week. I'm currently chatting with Dr. Shireen Fanaroff, family physician, talking vaccines. And just before we went to ad break, we got sort of an understanding on why the COVID booster is not currently available in South Africa. Doc, the sense that I got from our discussion is the benefits that we've had as older people from our vaccinations when we were younger are not necessarily going to be with us for our entire lives. And the thing with not getting sick is you don't know that you haven't gotten sick. You don't know that you've had the benefit from your vaccination. So in terms of the boosters that we've spoken about, can we just reiterate the importance and why it's so valuable to have your vaccine boosters?
So immunity wanes. So the point of a vaccine is to expose your body to a small amount of virus so that your body, when it's exposed to the real virus or a live version of the vaccine, recognizes it and can rush in and attack it and can kill that virus. So the reason for boosters, let's talk about flu vaccines, is that the virus mutates and every year there are different strains of flu. So your flu vaccine from 2024 is not going to be massively helpful going forward, partly because your immunity's waned and partly because the strains have mutated. So just to talk a bit about that, we have different strains of flu vaccines and a lot of people say, should I have the 3-strain or the 4-strain vaccine? Mm-hmm. This year, up until I think this week, and I may be wrong, it may have just come out, we've only actually had the 3-strain vaccine. that covers two strains of influenza A, an H1N1 strain, which was originally the swine flu, and the H3N2 strain, and one strain of influenza B. The fourth strain, which is in the four strain vaccines, which is called Yamagata, hasn't actually been seen anywhere or documented since COVID in 2020. And so WHO actually said that it could be left out of the vaccines. And the recommendation actually was that the trivalent three-strain vaccines are sufficient. And I must say, in my practice, up until this week, I have not been able to access the four-strain. And it's been quite late because flu came early, so I was happy to go ahead and do three-strain vaccines. They're both absolutely acceptable. So whichever one can get your hands on, I would still say go for it.
Go for it. For those of our listeners that maybe haven't had a flu vaccine yet, there's always a lot of stories out on social media about what happens and what to expect. If you have your vaccine, what can you expect? Do you get sick? How severe is it? How soon after the vaccine? What can you do to limit the effects, if there are any?
So what you must remember is that the flu vaccine is inactivated. It is killed virus, so it cannot cause flu. Every year, doctors get patients who say, no, doc, 10 years ago, I had a flu vaccine and I got such bad flu. The reason, unfortunately, for that is that we give flu vaccine at the beginning of the flu season and you're not protected until about 2 weeks after. In terms of side effects, there can be side effects. The commonest one is a sore arm, redness, swelling at the site of the injection, and maybe a headache, flu-y kind of feeling, but it's not actually flu. Generally, if one takes Panado or paracetamol, that completely limits the effects of it. So it's not usual to see severe vaccines. Everybody's different, and there are always patients who could react. Some people faint at any vaccine and will faint when they get a flu vaccine, for example. There are people who react a bit more and get severe muscle aches and pains. You know, there are outliers, but in general, the common reaction is a slightly sore arm and very little more than that.
Right. I'm one of those fainting when seeing needles people. So it's great. I'm not awake when I get the vaccine. As we start to wrap up, Doc, what would you like to share with our listeners about vaccines, vaccination, and their importance?
I think, as you touched on earlier in the show, there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy. And as doctors, we're really trying to do a lot of work around getting people to understand that vaccines are not a weapon, that they do save lives, as is the theme of Africa Vaccination Week, and that they are not new technology. They've been around for many, many years and are very safe, and that they are effective. So they're not 100% effective, but the data from NICD actually on last year's vaccines was that overall the vaccines were around about 72% effective, which means that it massively reduced the load of influenza in people not being able to go to work, reduces the hospitalization risk and the severity risk. So even if you end up with flu, you won't go to hospital.
Sure. A fantastic way to end the show, Doc. And I think all we have to do, if we're able to speak to our grandparents' generation about the vaccine, such as polio, to see their effect that they have on society. Thank you so much, Dr. Sheree Fanaroff, family practitioner. You've been listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. Thank you for joining us. My name is Nicholas Engel, and I'll chat to you next week.